Adventures with Words is brought to you by Audible. Try Audible free for 30 days and download any audiobook for free. For your free trial, go to www.adventureswithwords.com/audible.
Hello and welcome to Adventures with Words, where we talk about storytelling in all its forms. I'm Rob.
I'm Kate. And today we're getting a bit of an insight into the publishing industry. Rob's going to share some of his expertise with us. We're going to find out a bit about Super Thursday and also a little bit about what we call event publishing. So, Rob, to start us off, could you actually explain what Super Thursday is?
Well, Super Thursday is a term that's become more prevalent and more often talked about in the media. What it is books for some reason have always tend to be published on a Thursday. I don't know quite why that is. CDs and DVDs have always come out on a Monday. Films are generally released on a Friday. But books tend to come out on a Thursday. And that's when the new offers start if you go into a bookshop. So Super Thursday, it's the one day or maybe 2 days of the year when the most books are published at any one time.
Okay, when would that tend to be?
Well, this is all gearing up to get ready for Christmas. So it's generally late September, early October. And each of these books are sort of vying to get to the Christmas number one slot.
So who was that last year?
Last year was Jamie Oliver. It was his fourth number one, I think, and it was Jamie's Great Britain.
Yeah.
And surprise, surprise, he's got another one out this year. Mm-hmm. Jamie's 15-Minute Meals.
Okay, so he's probably one of the front runners then. Who are the other kind of sort of people in the running for Christmas number one?
Well, this year it's a battle between Jamie and J.K. J.K. Rowling is bringing out her first adult book. It's her first non-Harry Potter book, and they're both coming out on the same day.
When you say adult, I'm assuming you mean grown up as opposed to any particular number of shades of a colour.
Yes. We're saying grown up, even though the Harry Potters, they did try to pitch them towards adults. If you remember, they had those adult covers.
Yeah, they did the dual cover publishing, didn't
yeah.
they?
Well, in all the guidelines that we've been given as a bookseller, we're not to put it near any children's books. We're not supposed to associate it in any way with Harry Potter. It's aimed at adults and just even gone for a different publisher as opposed to Bloomsbury as well. So there's trying to be a clear sort of break.
A sort of clear distinction between this and any previous Potter-based.
Any Potter-based, yes. So they're both out this Thursday, which is the 27th of September, mm-hmm. out on the same day. And it's, you know, we'll have to wait and see. I would edge more towards the Jamie Oliver.
Right.
But saying that, he's doing 15-minute meals. Now I've got Jamie's 30-minute meals sitting on my shelf. So
it seems a little bit similar to previous offerings.
Yes. And then, so that's one potential downside for Jamie.
Yeah.
For J.K. Rowling, this book's not going to have the same sort of aimed at children.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of her fans will have grown up, perhaps.
Yeah, I was just going to say like that, actually.
Yes.
You know, a lot of the people who would have been reading Harry Potter's in their teens, there's been enough of a gap now that perhaps this might appeal to them as well. So you never know. Now, to me, perhaps this is just me, but it seems very early in the year to be publishing books which are vying for Christmas number one. Has this been kind of going on for a long time?
It's been going on for a while. I mean, the book charts only properly started in sort of 97,
right.
1997.
So that's quite recent, actually.
Yes. The Nielsen book scan charts, which is basically a system where everything that's scanned through a till or sold is automatically counted. So it's sort of early in the year, but if you think about, I mean, we were in a supermarket yesterday and you've already started to see the Christmas food. So people will start to do their shopping early. But quite often on a Super Thursday, as it's known, you can have over 200 books out on one day.
Oh, my goodness.
Last year was around the 29th of September and you had 6 books were released and they sold 10,000 copies in 3 days. So there is a market out there.
That's a massive number. And, you know, considering that a lot of people will probably think it's quite a long way till Christmas, and presumably that is what people see as the kind of Christmas buying.
Well, the problem is, obviously, you've only really got so many Thursdays till Christmas.
Yeah.
And what happened particularly this year with Jamie and the J.K. Rowling is publishers started to move their books out the way.
Right.
So you've already had a few big books released, like the Lee Childs, Ian McEwan, Sebastian Faulks. And then what they think this year's Super Thursday will be around October the 11th.
What are we looking out for then on October the 11th?
Celebrity biographies is the big Christmas.
The big
Christmas thing. With Christmas, you get people who come into bookshops and it's their one time they come in a year, and they do look sometimes a bit lost. So, but you've got to think about which books people are going to give at Christmas. And it's hardbacks people tend to give at Christmas.
Yeah.
they look nice. You know, it says £20 on the cover. You probably haven't paid £20. No. So it's people like Miranda Hart. There's some new fiction from Celia Ahern, Rod Stewart's autobiography.
Right.
David Mitchell. And latest, Joe Nesbo. I know you're a fan. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Look out for that.
Kate Morton and Michael Palin. His second book, this one's his travel book. So they're all coming out generally on October the 11th.
And then plus I know there are some sort of cookery books that are either just come out or just about to come out. That are, and they're the other sort of thing that tend to be quite popular at Christmas time.
Yes, cookery books are, because quite often they'll, you know, they are used quite frequently, actually. I mean, I said, you know, Jamie, you've got the new Nigella, Nigel Slater's sort of Kitchen Diaries 2. I mean, mm-hmm. The Kitchen Diaries was a big hit, wasn't it? And then there's sort of the Olympic hangover. You've got Jessica Ennis and Bradley Wiggins will probably be quite a popular one.
Yeah, I can see that. I can imagine that.
But yeah, it's quite often celebrity biographies. I mean, David Walliams has got his autobiography and he's also a really successful children's author.
Yeah, he's had a few sort of children's hits written. I know his new one's called Rat Burger, which is a really bizarre title. He's not someone that I've ever read, although I do tend to read maybe kind of young adult rather than children's. But I know he's very popular.
But there's a new Charlie Higson. I know you're a fan of that.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that, actually.
A new Rick Riordan?
Riordan,
that's right, yes. So, I mean, books are still, physical books in particular, are going to be a great as gifts. And it's hardbacks. You tend to have paperbacks published over the summer.
Yeah.
That's your holiday reads.
Yeah, take them on holiday with you. They're lighter and smaller.
Yeah. And then a hardback sort of makes a good gift.
Well, so as we've been going through the kind of books we're expecting to be out on Super Thursday, one of the types which we have kind of already said, you don't really tend to see at other times of the year is the celebrity autobiography. And I mean, I know from my experience walking into bookshops around Christmas time, there's just tables and tables of all these sort of celebrity biographies and autobiographies, which I mean, you never really see sort of in the summer. You don't see people buying the rest of the year. I mean, is that kind of a Christmas phenomenon?
Yes, it is the Christmas tradition to have the celebrity biographies out, because sometimes that is what people want to read. They want to read about these people's lives. They see them on TV. So there is a lot of jostling from publishers to see who can get the celebrity for Christmas. The thing is, there are only so many celebrities to go around.
Yeah, and I mean, if they all released a biography last year, then you know, 1 year probably isn't enough for most celebrities to rustle up enough for a whole new book. So I guess there's probably quite a lot of competition.
Yes, there is. And some years are honestly better than others. A few years ago, the celebrity publishing, it was generally considered to be quite a weak year. It was the year when Anton Deck biography came out and that just didn't sell. But you think about how often they're on TV, but perhaps because they'd grown up so much.
I guess they've been in the public eye for so long that people probably feel they know them quite well. Whereas I guess the sort of few things coming out this year, you've obviously got the sports people, your sort of Bradley Wiggins, like you said, Jess Ennis. There's also Claire Balding, you know, who's become so popular. I mean, she was popular with a lot of people previously, but obviously really kind of acclaimed for her commentary. And
that's already started really well.
Which doesn't surprise me at all. And then I guess you've got the kind of X factor with sort of Talisa.
Cheryl's bringing out her proper biography as opposed to what was basically a picture book last year. So, yes, and these people, publishers are going to, there is a scrap to get them to sign. Yeah. And quite often they're paid a silly amount of money that will never really make it back. Peter Kay's had one of the most successful ones, actually.
Yeah.
Consistently selling.
Well, I guess he's the kind of person where he's not actually in the public eye an awful lot, but then the things he does tend to be very successful. So, you know, when he did Phoenix Nights, he had a resurgence, then it quietened down again. And then you get the, you know, that famous sort of live performance in the Manchester Arena repeated on telly, and then it kind of goes quiet again. So I guess he's someone who people keep coming to, rather than necessarily just, you know, being in the public. You know, he's been around a long time, but he isn't always in the public eye.
He's also probably written it himself.
Yeah, which,
if we're honest,
might well help.
I mean, this year, Miranda Hart, I think she has. David Mitchell, he writes every week in The Observer. Yeah. Not sure about Talisa or Cheryl Cole, possibly.
Well, you know, dare we suggest that perhaps just because they're an X Factor judge, they might be less able to write.
Yeah.
But you know, they've got very busy lives and it's not yes. part of what they do every day. So,
but someone like David Mitchell, I mean, any comedian, it's that story of how he's got there, and we know he can write. So I'd be quite interested in looking at David Mitchell's one, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I find it very funny. I'd be quite interested. I mean, and I'm not someone who normally does go down that route. I think my sort of celebrity biographies is sort of Russell Brand and then Ronan Keating that I was given for my 18th birthday some time ago. But then again, you know, it was quite interesting. His life was indeed a roller coaster. Yes. So.
Well, last year the big book was Steve Jobs.
Yeah, well, of course.
Which, you know, is so far I haven't finished it, but it's a fascinating read. And obviously the timing was unfortunate in one way. But he's very fortunate in another. Yes, so there we go.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess because they're kind of such a Christmas thing, it was a bit like you're saying, you get people coming into the bookshop who either are buying themselves their kind of one main book that they're going to read that year, the kind of, you know, not necessarily like reluctant readers, but people who just don't do it as a matter of course, or people buying them as Christmas presents.
Yeah.
You know, and again, for people who perhaps they're not the kind of regular readers who are going in there all the time. But I guess having them out at Christmas probably does really, you know, obviously anything's going to get more of a boost at Christmas. But having that as a particular Christmas thing, it probably makes them almost look more popular than they are. I mean, I guess they, you know, the amount they sell peaks incredibly high at Christmas compared to all the rest of the year.
Well, also, from a shopper's point of view, it's probably an easy one. Go, oh yeah, I know so and so watches The X Factor, so I'll get them to lease his book. You know.
Yeah. Whereas if you're trying to buy someone fiction,
that's a lot harder. Yeah.
So you have to know them better.
A bit better. Yeah.
In order to know their tastes a bit more, I guess.
But it's important for, you know, bookshops and booksellers. If it's the one time that person's coming in, how do you keep hold of those customers? So it's really important to get it right. I mean, the only other time people tend to come in, you know, for their one or two is the big events.
Yeah.
You know,
kind of
the big
event.
So
publishing.
Event publishing, which is that can sort of happen all the way through the year, but the one that comes to everyone's mind is the Harry Potters.
Yeah, I mean, that's something kind of following on for what we were saying earlier about J.K. Rowling's new grown-up book. Obviously, that's kind of got quite a bit of hype around it. But, I mean, I certainly remember, particularly where I went to university in Durham, where they actually filmed bits of the first couple of films, there was a lot of hype about release of Harry Potter books. And I mean, I know there was all over the country, but especially in Durham, I guess, where you had sort of all, you know, part of the year in the summer, you actually had people walking around in their their robes and so on, and sort of Slytherin and Gryffindor and whatnot. So it was a really big event when the next Harry Potter came out.
Oh, yes. And I mean, they were doing midnight launches, weren't they? And things like that.
Yeah.
Well, the two things...
You had people in fancy dress.
Yeah. Well, the two things that mainly feed into these big events is the book itself, because if no one's interested in it, no one's going to care.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also the embargoes. Mm-hmm. So what will happen is the books will come into the shops, you know, throughout the week, but you're not allowed to sell them until a specific time. So with the J.K. Rowling, shops are not allowed to sell them before 8 o'clock on Thursday.
Yeah.
Now, if you break an embargo, well, you can get in a lot of trouble, but I'm not really sure what happens there. But certainly, I've done a few of these events, like the Dan Brown one, you weren't even allowed to open the boxes.
Which book was that for?
This was for The Lost Symbol, the last one.
Right, yeah.
And there are rumours of reps from the publishers biking it around London, making sure that shops hadn't opened and all this sort of stuff. This year there were talk of if your shop opens before 8 o'clock on Thursday, you had to run a special computer script through your tills to make sure it wouldn't possibly sell it.
Oh my goodness. I mean, I guess what it's doing is kind of creating the illusion of scarcity.
Yes.
Obviously it would never have been sold before that point anyway.
No.
Because it gets released on the Thursday. But I guess it gives the impression that they're there, they're under lock and key, and if people can't get something, obviously it's that kind of thing of if you can't get it, you want it more.
Well, the instructions we've been given is that the books will arrive, we're not even allowed to open the boxes, you know, God forbid one of us might start reading it a bit earlier or something. So
it's going to be literally like your shop opens and you'll be still shelving them kind of thing.
Yeah, you're supposed to be basically unpacking those at 8 o'clock to hand them out.
Wow. Do you think people are going to be there queuing at 8 o'clock to kind of whip them off the shelves?
I don't know. I honestly don't know, because no one knows really anything about this book. that it's just about a local by-election. I mean, some shops are doing sort of tea parties in the morning, but because no one knows about it, what do you expect?
I know. I mean, it's the impression that I've got. I mean, certainly when, you know, when the Harry Potters were being released, there was actually a fair amount of information being released in advance about the books. And obviously you knew it was, you know, you knew who the characters were. You knew it was going to carry on the story.
It's going to be a new year at Hogwarts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So even without being told, you already had quite a lot of information about it. And then, you know, they were discussing it in advance. You did have an impression of what might happen.
Mm.
Whereas with this, they're really, I guess, trading on her name alone.
Yeah.
That, you know, she has been so successful. She's such a well-known writer that they're just, you know, hoping that, and then plus the kind of hype, you know, that, I mean, I guess there have been a lot of posters up. You know, I've seen a great big kind of 5-foot poster in the window of a bookshop in town.
Yeah.
But then, I don't know if I'm going to like it. I haven't pre-ordered it.
No, neither have I. But there has been sort of a drip feed. First of all, it was, what's the cover going to look like? What was the name? But we've still just got that very bare bones, that basic sort of synopsis, and that's about it. And then it's sort of meant to be sort of a black comedy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's not very much to go on. And I think, you know, with the Harry Potters, they could afford to, you know, they could afford to do that kind of embargo thing and really hype it up and, you know, create that kind of scarcity. I'm just not sure how effective it's going to be. I mean, I hope it does well.
Mm.
By the end of the Harry Potter series, I thought she was writing really well. I mean, I was quite critical of the first couple, but, you know, by the end of it, I think she really kind of got the hang of it. I hope that doesn't sound too patronising, because it's not meant to be.
It's a series that improved, and I think she found herself as a writer.
So, going along this route, this, you know, sort of midnight events and sort of releases and so on, have you ever queued up for a book?
I haven't, no. I wasn't a fan, to say, of Dan Brown and his writing. So I would say of the recent times with the event publishing, The Lost Symbol, the Harry Potters, I did read as they went along.
Mm-hmm.
I probably came to the series about book 3 or 4.
Yeah.
But I was always, I got them delivered on the day, or I picked them up in a supermarket.
I mean, when I was up in Durham, I did go and buy them, but I didn't, you know, because, again, I came to it a bit later.
Mm.
I didn't kind of go and queue up at midnight, because I guess at the time I just didn't have quite that much kind of buy into the series, as it were. But then certainly by the last one, I'd got it pre-ordered. It arrived on the morning, and then I sat there and read the whole thing in 2 days or whatever.
Certainly. I remember reading it in a sort of a mad panic. I've got to finish this before someone spoils it.
Yeah, I went back and reread it properly just to make sure I'd kind of got it all. But yeah, so I mean, by the end of it, I was really hooked into it. But no, I never actually went in and sort of queued up in the street or anything.
No, I can't think of what sort of book would compel me to do that.
I don't know. I think that for me, there's probably not many. I think I'd almost be tempted, if, you know, not just to do it on my own.
Mm.
I think that's the thing. There are a few things where if there are enough other people that were going to do it as well, I'd certainly do that. Because you know, that kind of thing is quite fun, being part of a big crowd like that, waiting for something. But
I have to confess, I've queued up for an iPhone before, two years ago.
Yeah.
I did.
Was it worth it?
I got the phone.
Did you feel smug?
Not necessarily smug. It was a really odd experience. I'd sort of seen it queuing. I'd seen people queuing before in like America.
Yeah.
Where people would queue like days and days in advance. I just turned up a couple of hours before. Maybe that's where we live. But there was a sort of a fun sense of counting. It was counting down to this one moment. There's also this panic of, I'm actually going to get this, or am I wasting my time? Because you didn't know how many phones there would be. But people do this all the time with like midnight screenings for films as well.
Yeah, they do, more and more so. I mean, I know that when The Hunger Games was released in America, there were all these sort of cinemas opening. Doing a midnight screening and so on. And I know obviously with The Dark Knight or Dark Knight Rises, there's some places that were doing that for that as well.
Well, I think films is a bit different though, because a film can live or die on its opening weekend.
Yeah.
It's either instantly a hit or a flop. And if you open it at midnight, you can get more screenings in. Yeah. Simple as that.
Yeah.
But
so obviously a book isn't going to run out, you know, a limited run for a book is not a few weeks, so.
No, but I can see with Harry Potter where, especially with the last book, it was all about what happens at the end. And if you wanted to be one of the first to find out,
not have it spoiled,
then
you had to get in there quick, basically.
Now, of course, ebooks has totally thrown this out the window, where you can just turn your Kindle on in the morning and it's there.
Yeah, it's not quite the same sense of excitement, no. I don't think. But perhaps that's just me. I don't know. I mean, we have talked about ebooks before, and I know, I mean, I have got a Kindle, but I don't use it very often. It's always in my handbag, but it's really more of a thing if I'm in a waiting room or something, then I'll flip it open and have a read of something.
I mean, I didn't have a Kindle when the Harry Potters were out, but I don't think I would have chosen that. For me, it's an object, something, you know, to have it in your hands there and then.
I think if it's the kind of thing that you care enough about to pre-order and queue up for and so on, then to me, I that would mean that I would want the physical object.
Yeah.
I wouldn't just want an ebook if it was something that I was that excited about and sort of anticipating in that way. You know, I was just trying to think there as we were talking, what might I queue up for? You know, if there was another kind of Northern Lights, but you know, if people have been doing that for the Northern Lights series by Philip Pullman, his Dark Materials, then I probably would have queued up with people for those. But I don't know, that kind of thing hadn't really started for young adult books.
No.
That kind of really started with Harry Potter, and I think his Dark Materials probably just kind of snuck in there a little bit earlier than that.
I mean, I'm just looking around. We record this in a room where basically half the wall is taken up with books. And I'm trying to think what I would queue up for. Maybe if there was a fourth Stieg Larsson, The Lost One, possibly, I'd want it there and then. But
really?
I don't know, maybe. I'm trying to think of the recent phenomenon, what's sold.
Yeah.
What's been the big sellers? Just looking around,
I would probably go and kind of leading on to kind of what we're looking forward to coming out that maybe isn't in that in those sort of few that we talked about earlier. I mean, I'd probably go and queue up for the new Charlie Higson book in his zombie series. I just think they are fantastic.
Well, there's Artemis Fowl. Of course. Well, that one we were embargoed and we had to sign a disclaimer not to talk about the ending.
Yeah, but
that's all about building the hype.
Getting that advanced copy.
Yeah.
You know, I felt very privileged indeed to be able to read that before it was even sort of, you know, published to everyone else. So, yeah, not to be able to talk about that to an end when really I want to go, look what I've got. This is amazing. Mm. But yeah, I was very, very excited about that. I don't know how many other people would. Do you think people, if Stephanie Meyer did a kind of Twilight, another Twiglet?
Well, she did with the Bree Tanner.
Well, I don't know. It's not a real one.
No,
though, was
but that
it?
Was
it
that was
really
under
Bella and Edward.
That was a heavy embargo again.
Yeah.
Where we weren't allowed to open the open the boxes.
Did that even do particularly well in the end, though?
That was a tricky one because she was giving it away free for so many days in America.
Yeah.
With money going to charity, and over here it was a totally different thing. It was also an incredibly thin book.
Mm.
I don't know if they would anymore. I think that's been and gone, perhaps. I know the films still do very well, but there we are. I don't know. You never know what the next phenomenon is going to be.
No, that's true. Although it does seem to be, you're more likely to get that kind of hype if you're aiming it at young people. I guess the last thing that was really flying off the shelves was The Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Trilogy. And I mean, that went without the kind of big hype surrounding it, because that had obviously been published for a little
quite
while.
Quite a while, yeah.
And then suddenly was getting more and more, you know, interest, and then it became a real phenomenon kind of organically.
So maybe her next one, possibly, you don't know.
I can imagine actually people would be quite excited for that. So perhaps that would be the next big thing.
So who knows? It's the battle between Jamie and JK this Christmas. I would put my money on Jamie if I had to.
Yeah,
I think even
so. What else are you looking forward to? I've already kind of said mine. What about you?
For me, I think it is more, bizarrely, the celebrity biography, I'd really quite like David Mitchell.
Yeah.
I would like to read actually the Salman Rushdie biography.
Oh, right, yeah.
I did my dissertation, my master's on Rushdie, and I think it's just such a fascinating, just an insight into what it's like to live like, you know, under that pressure. I could see it coming out in his writing, but I wanted to see what's happening in his personal life. So yes, for me, it's Joseph Anton by Rushdie and David Mitchell. That's a bizarre combination, I know.
And is there no particular fiction that you're excited about?
Well, most of the fiction we've kind of actually already got.
We have been quite lucky recently. Between us, I, thanks to Rob, have ended up with a copy of Sweet Tooth by Ian McEwan, a signed copy. And we've also got a rather nice copy of the new Sebastian Faulks as well. Which well, there I is, think would have yeah, been high on the list.
They are on there. The only other one is Telegraph Avenue by Michael Chabon, which I was just so in love with Cavalier and Clay that it's one of those ones where I almost don't want to read it in a hurry.
A bit nervous.
Yeah, I don't know. So yeah, I've got a copy of that coming. So yeah. I'm just sort of, for me, it's those ones, yeah.
Okay.
Underneath the Christmas tree, yes.
I expect you've probably asked Father Christmas for a few books to go under your Christmas tree this year. If you'd like to share those with us, then please get in touch. You can find us in a variety of ways. We're on Twitter at Word Adventures. We've got our website, which is adventureswithwords.com. You can like our Facebook page. And we've also now got a book group on Goodreads, which we're just about getting to grips with, where you can see what we're reading and you can also discuss any of your book choices with us. We look forward to hearing from you. I've been Kate.
I've been Rob. Thanks for listening.
Adventures with Words is brought to you by Audible. Try Audible free for 30 days and download any audiobook for free. For your free trial, go to www.adventureswithwords.com/audible.